In this next year, Americans will spend $40 billion on their pets. $19.7 billion is what we will be spending on veterinary care, medicine, and supplies. It's an astronomical number, and if you have a pet who's sick, you know what this can mean to your budget. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast. My guest today is Trish King, Director of Behavior and Training for the Marin Humane Society. It's been some time, Trish. Welcome back to Good Dog.
Well, I'm glad I'm here.
And when we first began talking, you mentioned that you are in this category. You now have a small dog, your Cairn Terrier, who is sick with lymphoma, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's really a shame. We found out an odd way. I was taking her in for something else, and I said, she has a couple of new lumps that I'm concerned about. And the vet was pretty sure it was lymphoma from the moment she actually felt the lumps.
Oh, and we've all had those little lumps that are nothing, that are just benign.
Right. So you kind of start thinking, oh, they're just little fatty deposits. It should be okay.
And how old is your dog?
She's 12.
So was it even a decision for you to launch into care that you mentioned is costing you, what, $300 to $400 a week at this point?
Yeah, it was a great big decision. I'm not exactly a rich person, and this is, there were several things. First of all, we're talking about chemotherapy, and you know how human beings respond sometimes to chemotherapy, makes them nauseous, and you lose your hair, and you know, it's not a particularly pleasant thing to do. So I had discussions with several veterinarians about it, and one of the things about lymphoma is that it's a very, it doesn't get cured, but it can go into remission and to complete remission, and at least for the time of the treatment, and then it will come back, but it comes back relatively slowly for some dogs, quickly for others.
So is it a matter, like in the decision that we as humans make, that how much quality of life can you hope to achieve?
Yeah, it's
for how long? Yeah,
for how long? And you know, compounding that is the dogs don't live as long as people do. So as a dog gets older, you kind of think, okay, am I prolonging her life unnecessarily? What am I doing with her? You know, quality of life has everything to do with it, along with the amount of money that you have in your budget. And so I've got to do some belt tightening, but essentially, after hearing what the chemotherapy could possibly do for her, I decided to begin the process. And so I am, and she goes to the vet every week, and she gets chemotherapy. And sometimes it lasts a very short time and sometimes a long time. It's not like human chemotherapy. They do rotate the drugs. They don't lose their hair. And she gets a little bit of nausea, or she has so far. We're just at the fourth week. And this is a 20-week process. So it's she seems to be doing fine. In fact, she's lively and happy and able to do everything that she did before, including drive me crazy.
There you go. Well, in general, I think we make these decisions based on trying to tune into how our dog feels, which is tricky. They don't speak. But you can tell when they're cheerful and their tail is wagging and they're eating and they're responding to you, and when they're moping around and really quite miserable. And, you know, when we get to that stage of having to make the decision of whether to euthanize them, it's clearly it's based on that. Is there a quality of life here or isn't there? And is there hope for gaining one?
Right. And it's as you say, it's very difficult. It's also very difficult from the human being standpoint, because many of us are extremely attached to our animals, and very selfishly we don't want to let them go. So the decision is not only their quality of life, it's our quality of life. Many people grieve for years over their animals and so I know some people who won't refuse to get another one because the process was so difficult and because they miss them so much, and they don't ever want to miss another animal as much as they miss their animal. And of course they don't live as long as we do. You know, they live 14, 15, 16 years at the outside usually, and that's not long, really.
Right.
So the other thing is, you know, sometimes a dog will look depressed and it will just be kind of relaxed. We see people who overanalyze their dog's expressions, and then we see people who don't analyze their dog's demeanor at all. And, you know, it again, it has a lot to do with who you are and how what your relationship is with your animal. I mean, I've had people that I've consulted with who what they want is another opinion. You know, especially there are some veterinarians who are extremely reluctant to do euthanasia for good reason.
Sure.
And sometimes then the decision falls totally to the owner of the dog without having any and without having any kind of outside influence, they get lost.
I've been in the position twice of considering and then ultimately deciding to euthanize my beloved pet. And in both cases, I went to my vet for confirmation that I was making the right decision. I needed to know that I wasn't doing this prematurely and felt that I was really in partnership with my vet.
Yes, and a good vet is going to do that. A vet especially that you have a good relationship with.
Right, and knows you and knows your pet.
Right. But there are, you know, there are still people who don't have a regular veterinarian who take their dogs to a vet, you know, once every year or 2 years for shots. And so they don't have that kind of relationship with their vet. It's hard for them.
Right.
Very difficult. And then the decision to spend, I mean, I actually can spend the money on Sophie because I have some savings and I can use it on that. But what a pickle I would have been in had I not.
Right, and what happens to people who don't have resources like that? You know, it's interesting, I was mentioning the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper did a cover story, which is debatable how much sense that makes in the first place. But in any case, it was called Pets Putting on the Ritz, and it was, well, it's subtitled, Doting U.S. Owners Spend Billions Each Year to Satisfy Their Animals' Every Possible Desire. So this was not only about what we spend on veterinary care, but what we spend on all kinds of accoutrements. That
oh yeah, it's an old joke of mine actually. That all dog owners is what I usually say, but it could be pet owners are rich.
There you go.
Oh yeah, because we buy the very best food for them. We buy them toys. We buy them lots of beds.
Hey, I'm going away for the weekend, and someone is going to be coming and staying with Princess Lulu. So
yeah, right.
I'm as much at fault, you know, over this, but frankly, kennels don't do it for me.
No, and you know, the other thing is that most people will buy a car for their dogs eventually, or many people.
Excuse me, a car for their dogs?
They will buy, a car that actually fits their dog. If they have a big dog,
I see.
Yeah, they get a car. And then they'll eventually get a house for their dog. They want something with a big yard, you know. So
I'm reading, this is very funny, these statistics that this article in the paper provided. Amount that we will spend on pet food, $16.1 billion. I mean, there's one right off the bat. I mean, you're an expert in training and behavior, not in nutrition, but do we need to be buying the very best dog food? I don't know.
Well, I guess there are not that many ways there are many ways that you can actually show your love for your dog, and this is one of those ways. The other thing is that some people do an awful lot for their dogs because they feel so guilty for leaving them home all day.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Here says percentage of dog owners who consider their dog's comfort when buying a vehicle, almost 50%.
There you go.
70% of pet owners say they would take their pet with them in the event of a disaster. Well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
50 plus percent percentage of pet owners bought gifts for their pets in the past year. Average price per gift, $10 plus. And there's the guilt right there, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. You know, the whole stuff a Kong and leave it for your dog thing
right.
That's rampant now.
It is, however, a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah, it's a good idea. And daycares are a good idea, but people kind of have taken them a little bit too far.
Right.
Because some dogs, especially adult dogs, will just sleep if you leave them at home.
That's right. And how bad is that?
Yeah. They are very good at sleeping through the day.
The average pet owner will spend $107 on toys and treats this year. Now, that's not food. That's not veterinary care. Toys and treats.
Mm-hmm.
What do you figure you spend per dog on toys and treats?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say because I buy an awful lot of treats for other people's dogs because I, you know, deal with so many clients.
Right, and your toys and treats are tax deductible.
Not that I actually deduct them.
But you could.
I suppose I could.
So does 107 seem excessive to you?
No, it doesn't seem excessive. And I think that it's, one of the things that has happened is that in a lot of cases, pets have become our surrogate family.
Absolutely.
And since they are, and since they don't ever tell us things like, you know, I think you look really tired and ugly today, we feel like we can, you know, shower them with gifts, and they're always going to be grateful.
There's a photo of a dog jumping into a swimming pool here at the WAG Hotel. Is that the sort of excessive that you were talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a bit excessive. But, you know, if it doesn't do any harm, I'm fine with it. It's in fact, that's our first rule, isn't it, for almost anything, is first do no harm. And I don't think WAG hotels or any other kind of kennels do any harm, and they may do a lot of good. I can tell you that working for a shelter, it is not a nice place for a dog to be in a run, in a concrete run next to other dogs. And we have a really nice shelter in that people come in. We have pet pals who walk the dogs every day and take a lot of care of them and everything. And we have cat pet pals and all that, but it's still not home. So, you know, if you go the other direction and lavish every possible luxury on your dog, who am I to say this is a bad idea? It is a bad idea if you let the dog run your life, because that's not good for either you or the dog. But, you know, spending money on them, I guess if you have the money and you love your animal, why not?
All right, explain this to me. Businessweek.com says the price of a pair of nudicles, patented testicular implants for dogs, $919. Are you familiar with this product?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Now, what's the point here? Can you explain this?
Well, this is called male vanity. If you say you neuter your dog, which is a good idea, for a variety of reasons, reproduction being just one of them, then some people like the look of a dog that's intact. And so you can actually have artificial testicles put in your dog's testicular sac.
We're talking about an additional surgery, a cosmetic surgery, in effect?
Oh, yes.
For a dog?
Yes.
Because you want to feel that your dog has balls?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know how popular they are, but I do know that some men in particular really don't like the idea that their dog is neutered. I guess they identify with it or something. I don't know. But whatever it is,
they might use the word castrated, right?
They might use that, yeah. And I think that they are, they're very, I don't know, they're proud of their dogs. There's certainly a certain segment of the population that is, you know, kind of identifies with their dog a lot more.
I think we start looking like our dogs. I'm sure we've all, dog owners listening who listen to Good Dog, have seen that little viral internet message that comes through of the people and their dogs who look so much alike.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm starting to look like Lulu.
Oh, well, but Lulu is a very, very cute dog, so that's okay.
She thanks you and I thank you. Let's talk about veterinary insurance. Only 3% of us have purchased health insurance for our dogs, at least in this last year, in 2006. Is that because it doesn't make good financial sense? I mean, we certainly spend a fortune on veterinary care. It makes, conceptually, it seems to make sense.
I think it actually does make good sense. When you adopt a dog or a cat from us, we have a private insurance company that actually covers your animal for a month, and then you have the option of picking it up later. I think a lot of times it's a matter of people kind of being in denial that their animal's ever going to be really sick, and then they just put it off, or they don't know about it. I have several friends, and here's a person that's like, that is me. I have 3 dogs. I know I should get insurance. I keep putting it off, and I really intend to do it. I do have a very good friend who pays, I think, $45 a month per dog, but one of his dogs has had surgery on his back leg, which cost about $5,000 or $6,000, and the other dog has some chronic skin condition, which costs a lot of money on an ongoing basis, and much of that is covered. So he is very happy that he has pet insurance.
Do you know if there are any companies that are better than others, or anything you would recommend for people looking into this?
No, I don't, actually, because I just don't know enough about it. There are not very many companies that do it. I would say the best thing to do is to make sure that you have the coverage that you need. Some, you know, for instance, if you have some kind of a catastrophic illness, that would need to be covered. You know, a lot of times things like yearly inoculations and whatnot, those aren't covered. But
no, but that's really not where you need it. You need it. You need it when your dog gets cancer and you suddenly have a $300 to $400 monthly bill, or you need it when, for instance, and I'm looking in yesterday's paper. Oh, that was weekly.
Yeah,
$300 to $400 a week for 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What's the math there? What is this going to run?
I'm counting on about $8,000.
It's not chump change.
Nope, it isn't.
But you won't regret it, my guess is.
No, I'm not. I already don't regret it.
No, and I think
she would be dead if I didn't do it.
There you go.
And she's very happy.
Okay, and you're happy as a result.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to have a separate show on veterinary pet insurance.
I think that probably would be a good idea.
Definitely. So in the meantime, we spend all this money. If we want to avoid the big hit on veterinary care, look into insurance. But otherwise, just know what you're getting into when you purchase a dog.
Mm-hmm. It's always funny. You know, people think that they're getting, if they get a shelter dog, they think they're getting a free dog or a cheap dog or whatever.
Oh, no.
Goodness, no.
No, they cost every bit as much, if not maybe more.
Yeah, it depends. It also depends on the amount of guilt. A lot of people will adopt a dog from a shelter and feel very sorry for the dog, and so they lavish more time and attention and money on the dog than they did if they got the dog from a breeder.
So it's really not the dogs that need the medication to calm them down. It's us, right?
That's right.
All right. Trish, thanks so much for your insights today.
No problem.
Thanks for listening to Good Dog and for telling your dog-loving friends. I love. Did you get that? Love receiving your feedback, your suggestions of topics, and especially your iTunes reviews. To get in touch for any reason, simply email gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.